Verse 6. And blessed is he whoever shall not be offended in me. As they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitude concerning John, that's John the Baptist, what went ye out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in the king's house. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before me. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of a woman, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist, notwithstanding he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and violence taketh it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you will receive it, this is Elijah, which was to come. He that an ear, let him hear. And then if we were looking and had time, we could look at Luke chapter 7. And the same thing is said concerning John the Baptist. There only is, in these two scriptures, there is two things that seems to be different. One of them mentions that he that is least in the kingdom of God. The other says, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven. So I think it would be encouraging for us and truthful us to see that the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of earth are the same thing. The kingdom is where there is the rule and reign or realm of Christ being the king. Another thing that there's difference in these two passages is that one mentions that he is the greatest among the prophets, and the other says he is the greatest that is born of a woman. In what way could we say that John is the greatest? John is bringing out that he has a message. The scriptures bring out that the law and the prophets spoke unto John. And then it's saying there that the law came by Moses, and grace and truth came by the Lord Jesus Christ. So we can see one thing there, that John the Baptist was the greatest, because there was a change in the dispensation. The law and the prophets had stopped at John. He was last of the prophets. But he was great in that he had a message that none other had. I believe the thought is that he is the greatest among women, them born of a woman. And that would take everybody from Cain right down to today. There was none that was born that was greater than him. He had the greatest message, for he had the joy and the privilege of pointing out Christ as the Lamb of God. We said this morning that the first thing that John saw, he saw Christ coming, and he said, Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. How did John know that the Lord Jesus, this was the Lord Jesus Christ himself? You know, if you go to the book of Genesis, you'll find that there Noah in the ark, when he wanted to see that the judgment of God had debated, or receded, he sent out a dove And a dove went out, and then it came back. Then he sent out a raven, and the raven, it did not come back. He sent out the dove again, I believe, and it came back with an olive leaf in its mouth. And that's the last time you hear about a raven. It's a picture of the Holy Spirit. Because remember here at the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ, when John the Baptist was baptizing, he saw Christ and he saw a lamb, he saw a dove descending on him. The dove was a picture of the Holy Spirit. And just like in Genesis, there was no place for that dove to land because the judgment of God was all over the earth. But as the waters receded, you know, these mountain top or peaks of the mountains would be seen. That's a picture of the church. Because it's a place where the judgment of God has been abated. The judgment of God has been taken from the church. In fact, the other day there, we were in our Bible study. And we're dealing with Acts chapter 13. Verse 48. And it says, them that were appointed unto eternal life, they believed. So the first thing is that the Calvinist turns round and he says, well, you see, we are chosen in Christ before the world began. But you know, that word appointed, and it was, I brought it out, is not always translated appointed. Sometimes it is they decided or they were disposed to eternal life and they believed. The thought that comes out there is that, are we chosen? One of the things that seems to be, and it brings out that John was a man of God. He was a man of God appointed in a specific message for God. You see, God will always make room for the man of God. If you were to turn, you know, to Psalm 105, it talks about Joseph, and there has a famine in the land in order that Joseph would be seen. Remember, Joseph is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, I was speaking the other morning there at the breaking of bread, and it would seem as if that we're always talking about the benefits that we get out of knowing Christ as our Savior. But that's not really worship and remembering Him. Remember the baker and the butler, and Joseph, and the landed in jail. And Joseph told the butler that he would be restored. That's a picture of the church. You and I fell along with Adam, but we have been restored to health and position in the person of Christ. But the Bible says that the baker, or the butler rather, he remembered him not. But he was enjoying the benefits that Joseph had told them about. But he never remembered Joseph until he remembered, and the king turned round and said that he had a dream. And to remember what Joseph had done, that he had answered perfectly the dream that he had. And one of the truths is that you and I have to remember him. Remember the two in the road to Emmaus. It says they were talking about the things that had happened. That would be the death. That would be the burial. That would be the persecution. And then the Lord comes along, and it says in the same chapter, he revealed himself unto them. You see, there's a difference. Quite often, and often we hear about the love of God, but we don't hear about the lover himself. John, he was a special man. The first thing that I could say is that he was a sent man. He was a man that God prepared for a special message at a special time. One of the things that it says that John was filled with the Spirit from his mother's womb. Is that the thought that he was controlled by the Spirit? Remember, the Spirit never came to dwell with the believer till after the resurrection and the church was formed, his ascension. That's when the church and the believer was indwelt by the Holy Spirit. So is there a difference being filled by the Holy Spirit and indwelt by the Holy Spirit? One of the great truths that we hold on to is, he shall never leave us nor forsake us. Once we are born again, the Holy Spirit is there till eternity. But it says that John, that he was filled with the Spirit. I believe it's John 1 and 17. But there was a contrast that John was a man that came neither eating nor drinking. Now the context brings out in Ephesians 5 that Paul is bringing out that some of the disciples, they seemed as if they were drunk, but they were filled with the Spirit. And the Bible tells you and I to be filled with the Spirit, but the word is continually filled. We have to be continually filled. And I believe that there's a difference here. For John, the Bible says, he was indwelt by the Spirit. But does not the word of God say that sin come in but to the world by one man and so passed upon all men? The book of Romans. John had a natural father, the same as you and I. And then he wasn't greater than the Lord Jesus Christ. But the idea is that the Lord Jesus Christ was not born of a woman in the natural sense. The Bible says he was made of a woman. And there was a difference. And I think, no doubt, that John was excluding the Lord Jesus Christ. But then, as I said, the next thing that seems to come, not only was John sent, not only was he a special man, he was a Nazarene, and he did not eat or drink or touch anything that was dead. Can you imagine his instructions that would be to his mother, maybe out, and I thought to myself, a young boy out there walking with his mum and dad in the country, and they would have to tell them, son, if I drop dead, you have to run for somebody else. I don't want you to touch me because your vow as a Nazarene would be broken. And what about if he found a bone, say, on the side of the side or the trail? He would tell them not to touch that, John, because you're a Nazarene and you have made a vow. But the Bible says there that he was the greatest among the women. That would start from Cain right to till today. But then it says that John, but the law came until John. You see, there's a dispensational change. No longer are we under grace, under the law, but we're under grace now. The dispensation of grace is the church. What he's really saying is, the least among the church is greater than John the Baptist. But that has to be positional truth. You see, John, the Bible tells us, he was a bridegroom, or the best man, really, I'm looking for. And the church is the bride. You see the positional change and the privilege that you and I have? We are even referred to as the body of Christ. The Old Testament saints never had that privilege that you and I have as a Christian. We have, because of the death of Christ and the work that he has done for us, we have been brought into the very family of God. The Bible says that we are partakers of the nature of God. Can you imagine that truth? That the very life of Christ dwells within us. That's why we can have fellowship with him, because of what he has done for us. Then there's the thought, even, is that John was great, but he's not greater than them that is least in the church. You see, John was the forerunner. He proclaimed what these Old Testament prophets had been saying all along concerning Christ. Remember that Old Testament saint who says, I know that my Redeemer liveth and will stand upon this earth. He knew a little about it. But you and I have, through the truth of the Word of God and through the being indwelt by the Holy Spirit, we have the privilege of knowing and being where John could not go. John was a prophet, that is true, but he couldn't go in to the Holy of Holies. You see, you and I, in the book of Hebrews, are encouraged to come boldly into the very Holy of Holies. That was something that even Moses couldn't do. He couldn't come with boldness. In fact, the history will tell us that when the high priest went in behind the veil in the Day of Atonement, he had a rope round his waist in case he would die and they would have to get him out of there. But nobody could go in, so they used this rope to pull him out. But in the high priest, in his garments, on the bottom was bells. The trim of his garment had pomegranates, or Chinese apples, as some would say it, and then a bell, then a Chinese apple, then a bell, and all the way around. It says in Psalm 131, oh, how good it is for brethren to dwell together in unity, as the anointing spirit would flow from the beard of the high priest down to the hem of his garments. So there would be oil, which would speak of the Holy Spirit. There would be the pomegranates, which speaks of fruit. If anybody has ever opened one up, it has 1,000 seeds in it. In fact, it's all seeds. But it would speak of fruit. And then the bells would speak of the gospel. And whenever there's the anointing oil of the Holy Spirit and the proclamation of the gospel, there'll be fruit. But can you imagine that these men that would be listening, the priests, they would be listening to them bells. And they, whenever they would stop, they would say, oh, I wonder if he's died. And they would wait a little while. You know, one of the things there that it said of John, that he was a bright and burning light. I know that you're having that a Jewish man for the conference. But there used to be a Jewish man that would go round the assemblies here years ago. And I remember listening to him, and their idea is a little bit different. They have a different outlook. And he had a message one time. In fact, he gave it twice, and he says, have I gave this message before? And I put up my hand, and then I pulled it down. And he says, oh, he's not too certain. I'll just give it anyway. But if the thought of the message was, there is no waste in God's economy. The Bible says, as I said, that John was a bright and burning light. And the high priest, one of his jobs every day, was to go round and he would take the wick off the candlesticks or the burning lamps. And he would take that carbon and he would put it, and he put it into a snuff box and he kept it. But the idea was to take that burnt carbon from the candle, so to speak, so that the light would bright and be shining brighter than ever. You know, when you think of it, there's no floor in the tabernacle. And I've often watched the men, I've never smoked myself, but even at Ford's, they would go outside the door a little bit, and there would be this canister, and it would be sand in it. And they would take their cigarette, and they would put it in, and then cover it with the sand. And can you imagine the inclination it would be to the high priest just to put his heel into that sand and put that wick in? But the thought of the man was, there's no waste in God's economy. And here the Bible tells us that John, not only was he a sent man, not only was he special, but he was to be great before the Lord. I'm running out of time, but he was even a secluded man. He was a man that was in the wilderness. You know, for a man to be in the wilderness, it speaks of independence. He was not one that was characterized by blowing and being moved by every conversation that came along. He was an individual and he was a personality. He was a man that had convictions. You know, there was a man at our meeting, and we was talking, and he, I'll not tell you where he came from, you don't know him anyway, but he said that you're chosen first, and then you believe. And I says, oh, where did you get that? That's not true. But you see, and some people said, well, you should have been a little nicer to him. But you know, sometimes the man of God has to be strong in his message. The Bible tells us that we believe first, and then we are chosen. Chosen in Christ. And I believe it is to a position. For the Bible says in Ephesians 1 and verse 4, we are chosen in Christ before the foundations of the world. But then we stop and we put a comma there, so to speak. And then it is to be conformed unto the image of the Son. That's what it tells us we are chosen. Chosen to be, the purpose of it, conformed to the image of the Son. But some of these truths we have to hold on to, and John seems to be a man like that. For he was independent and he lived in the wilderness. He was a man that you could say his dress was according to his message. He was a man that was consistent with his message. You know, one of the great things I think that the older Christians see today is the change in dress coming to church. You know, sometimes we get dressed up in the morning in the breaking of bread, and we have a different thought to the prayer meeting and a different thought to the any meeting other than the breaking of bread. But I leave you with a question. If the Lord is present in the breaking of bread, is he not present at the prayer meeting? The scripture says, where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst. You see, he's just there as important at the prayer meeting as he is at the breaking of bread. Then it brings out that his dress was consistent with his message of repentance. The camel hair would speak of separation. You know, you can't make a dress or a covering out of the skins without the animals dying. In fact, that was one of the thoughts that I had in Genesis when it says that God made coats of skins for Adam and Eve. Some translations have it one coat. Some say that it was two coats. And I don't know, but I'm inclined to think it was one, because it speaks of the person of Christ and his death for every man, and it was sufficient for all the world. His features was one of humility. He said that I was a voice crying in the wilderness. The Lord says, what went ye out to see? Was it a reef that was carried away with the wind? Was it one that was dressed in good clothing? But John says he was a voice. He could have said, I am the son of a priest, and one who works or does his work in the tabernacle. He could have said that he was a man called of God. But you know, in his humility, all he said was, I'm a voice crying in the wilderness. He was a man, as I said, that was sent. He was special. He was secluded, and he was separated. What a man of God he was. Surely it encourages us to be separated unto him, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who loved us so much. Shall we just close in a word of prayer? O gracious God and heavenly Father, we thank the Father for this privilege and joy that's ours. We commend ourselves to thee, and thank the Father indeed for these truths that is found in John the Baptist, one who was great before the Lord, for he had a great message. He identified the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who would eventually die on our behalf. We ask that thou would take us to our homes in safety, for we ask it in our Saviour's name. Amen. Okay. Gracious God, we ask that this time that thou accept our thanks. We pray and ask that thou would bless the hands that's prepared this refreshment. We pray that thou would encourage us, lift us up. Thank the Father indeed for this little touch of heaven here upon earth as we go downstairs and express fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ himself. We commend ourselves to thee in our Saviour's wonderful and precious name.